Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew, I'm, of course, William Ramo. What's up, Mac? What's going on?
Hey, what's up? How's it going?
I'm doing all right, man. Glad to be with you another Saturday night doing the show.
Yeah, likewise.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in on today's show. We're going to talk about CM Punk getting fired by AEW and all the drama surrounding him and Jungle Boy Jack Perry. We'll talk about the pay-per-view events, the AEW All In, All Out, the WWE payback pay-per-view event, what's going on with the Mets and the Yankees lately, including the Yankees honoring the 98th championship team on Old Timers Day. Yeah, and, you know, much more stuff. And, of course, even the eve of New York football season kick-starting later, well, actually tomorrow with the Giants and, of course, Monday night with the Jets. But most importantly, the number is 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. So if you would like to talk about any of these topics or more, we'd love to hear from you. Again, the number is 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. So feel free to talk about any of these topics, you know, or more. You know, let your voice be heard, and thank you in advance. But, yeah, let's kick off with the football season. And, yeah, tomorrow, the Giants are going to be facing the Cowboys. They're going to be hosting the Cowboys. Well, we're going to get into that very soon. But first, yeah, let's talk about the Jets. As the Jets, you know, they're gonna open up their season against their rivals, against the Buffalo Bills. And yeah, the pressure is on. You know, the Jets have all the pressure. You know, they have all the Super Bowl aspirations of, you know, finally snapping their curse. You know, they haven't won a Super Bowl since Super Bowl III, you know, with Joe Namath. It's been over 50 years, and, you know, Aaron Rodgers is trying to be the second ever quarterback to lead the Jets to a Super Bowl and to potentially win it. So, yeah, all the pressure is on. You know, the Jets have a lot of acquisitions, especially from the Packers, Alan Lazard, Randall Cobb, Dalvin Cook. I mean, they made a lot of you know, acquisitions, you know, this year. So the pressure is on them. What you think is going to happen Monday night?
I think it's going to be a good game, a very good game to watch. You got the Bills, who are Super Bowl contenders. And, you know, last couple of years, you know, they've fallen short of going to the Super Bowl. And they're looking to go to the Super Bowl, hopefully, this year. And they have a great team again, you know, led by the quarterback, Josh Allen,
right,
and Stephon Diggs and the rest of the crew. And, yeah, offense, defense, the Bills are very good. And the Jets, they've made a lot of improvements with Aaron Rodgers, as you mentioned, and some additions like Alan Lazard, Randall Cobb, even you got Dalvin Cook as well. The Jets have a very good team right now. But the big question is going to be, with all these new guys, can they all connect and develop that chemistry? And can they go to the playoffs this year. The Jets haven't been to the playoffs in a while. But can this team go to the playoffs with all their talent? So we shall see, you know. But I think the game on Monday night is going to be a very good game. Might even be a high-scoring game.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's going to be an epic game on Monday night, prime time. You know, it's going to be a battle of two quarterbacks, you know, the legendary Aaron Rodgers versus Josh Allen. You know, a good quarterback who led his team to, what, three straight division titles. And they just have good news. Bryce Hall is expected to come back. You know, he believes he's pretty confident his surgically repaired right knee is good. And if so, this is going to be his first time in over 300 days where he'll be able to, you know, he'll be able to play and form that great duo with Dalvin Cook. So, I mean, the Jets, they have a lot of pressure on them, you know, but can they stay healthy and live up to the hype?
Yeah, it should be a big question.
So yeah, it's I can't wait to see that game. So I'm definitely gonna check that out for sure. And then shifting gears, with you guys, you know, Jets are of course. They're hosting on Monday night, but you guys are going to be facing the Cowboys, and you're going to be hosting as well tomorrow night, a primetime game as well. So that's another rivalry game. You pumped for this?
Yeah, that's going to be a great game. Very great game. Cowboys, you know, every year they're expected to go to the Super Bowl. That's another team that always falls short. Gets eliminated early in the playoffs, but the Cowboys have a lot of talent. And they got Brandon Cooks in the offseason. They let go of Ezekiel Elliott, but they haven't lost much because Tony Pollard is a beast at running back, and you know, C.D. Lamb at wide receiver, and Dak Prescott come, you know, he's back at quarterback. Hopefully, will be injury free and interception free this year. So the Cowboys, they come back this season with a very good team. Giants, I think, will be very good, you know, getting Darren Waller at tight end. The only thing I think the Giants lack is wide receiver depth. I think they should have gone out and gotten a top wide receiver like DeAndre Hopkins, who was available. And it's rumored that for some reason, the Giants didn't want to sign him. I don't know why, but Giants could have used a guy like him, you know, amongst their wide receiver core. But I think the Giants will be very good this year. Hopefully, they can manage to win 10 games, and the defense will be a lot better. It should be a good game. It's Sunday night between Giants and the Cowboys. I think Giants will find a way to sneak a win. We'll see.
Yeah, I think so too. I think the Giants will, they got a lot to prove, you know, facing their longtime rivals, and I think they're gonna come out on top. Would you like to give your fantasy pick?
Yeah, sure. Let me see here. For those of you guys who play fantasy football, here's my top starters to insert in your lineups tomorrow. At quarterback, I got the Dolphins quarterback, Tua Tagovailoa versus the Chargers. Running back, J.K. Dobbins versus the Texans. Wide receiver, Chris Olave versus the Titans. Tight end, Tyler Higbee versus Seahawks. Kicker, Jason Myers versus the Los Angeles Rams. And defense special teams, Washington Commanders versus Arizona Cardinals. So that's fantasy football starts for week one.
Thanks for that. But Mac?
Yep, no problem.
And shifting gears to baseball, today was Old Timers Day, honoring the 1998 Yankee team, obviously a team you're very familiar with, arguably the greatest Yankee team in modern history, for sure, maybe ever. And this marked the first time that Derek Jeter was here at opening Old Timers Day, even though I think this is the second year in a row they didn't have an actual game. But it's great to see Jeter returning in a Yankee uniform after many years as the Marlins owner and, you know, distancing himself, you know, from the team and just focusing on the Marlins.
Yeah, it was great to see. It was great to see some of the guys come back from that 98 team. Shane Spencer, Mike Stanton, as you mentioned, Derek Jeter, Mariano, Posada. It was great to see them and also for them to relive that season. You know, they had Susan Waldman and Torrey were interviewing some of the players on the field, asking them about certain games and certain moments. And that was great to hear their perspective and, their take on the whole season. And that 98 season, man, they're definitely the best team of all time, I think. I mean, they could have won more than 114 games. I think they could have won 120-something games. Because I think in September, they kind of relaxed a little bit. But it was great seeing all the players just come back from that team and to reunite and just give the fans, their perspective on that season and what it took to win that championship that year.
Absolutely. I mean, that was definitely the highlight of the game, of the day, because the Yankees bullpen, in late innings, caused the Yankees to lose 9-2 to the Brewers. And then even worse news, your boy Luis Severino, he's out for the rest of the year with an oblique strain.
Yeah, I heard about that. Well, Severino hasn't exactly been great this year. Neither has most of our pitching staff or most of our team. But, yeah, I mean, that's been pretty much the story of the Yankee season this year. Injuries and lackluster performance. Yeah, I mean, there's not much to say. I mean, at this point, I mean, technically we're not out of it. Mathematically, we're still in the playoff race. Even though we're at the bottom of our division, but I think this season is gone, and we just have to hope that they can make some changes, for next season. I mean, you like what you see out of the rookie, the Martian.
Dominguez.
Dominguez, who's hit, four home runs in the last seven games. So, he's been great. I think he'll be a great addition in the lineup going forward, batting third behind Judge. So, that's kind of a plus. I wish we could have brought him up earlier. I don't know why we waited so long. This season, it's been disappointing. Been very disappointing. So, just got to look forward to next year.
Yeah, and another thing to look forward to next year, off this start Michael King had, he struck out 9 in 5 innings, Hopefully, he could continue to build on that, as you approach the end of the season.
Yeah. But, for Old Timers Day, it was great to see Derek Jeter out there. He didn't get that play. It was more of a interview type of Old Timers rather than a playing Old Timers. It was nice to see him there.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely. And then shifting gears on the Mets side, the Mets, they lost 8-4 to the Twins. What was I going to say? David Pearson, he pitched well, but, he you know, he didn't really last long to get the win, but he did get the loss, you know. Yeah, but what was I gonna say? So, yeah, the Twins have been whooping the Mets behind this series. Alonso hit another home run. Brandon Nimmo, he let off the game with a solo home run, obviously, and the home run he hit, it looked off the bat, it looked like it was gonna be like a double, and then it looked like it was hit that, like smoked that hard, but it just kept on carrying. It was like the Energizer Bunny. It kept going and going and going and went out. You know, Alonso hit another bomb, his 43rd. I think he's second in the league. I think he's second or third in the league. With what, 43 home runs or so? I mean, only I think Ohtani and I'm trying to think of Olsen. Those are the guys who are, you know, the leaders along with him. And like that, you know, congratulations to Pete Alonso. He had another 40-plus home run season. This was like his third 40th home run season. And he has two seasons where he broke the former Mets record. In 2019, you know, he hit the rookie record, 53 home runs, which, you know, broke Aaron Judge's record. And then, of course, this year, he's hit at least, 42, 43 home runs. So he's like, I think he's like probably fourth all time in home runs with the Mets. And then he's like only a handful of people in Major League history has hit, had 40, what, like through 40 home runs in the first five seasons of his career, you know. And I think it's Ralph Kiner, and I forgot who the other, I think it was Albert Pujols and Eddie Matthews, I think was the other person. So yeah, he's off to a great start. He needs to just stay healthy. You know, he's close to 200 home runs. He's probably in the 190 range, I would say. And you know, maybe by next year or two, if he stays a Met, signs a long term deal, he'll be the all time Met home run leader, surpassing Daryl Strawberry, as we assumed David Wright would have had his back not, you know, basically ended his career ahead of time. And then props to Kodai Senga. You know, he was an all-star this year, won at least 10 wins. And yesterday he pitched great as well, but you know, he didn't get the run support to help him get the W. And as a result, he became the rookie with the second most strikeouts. He passed Jerry Kuzman for second all time, which is the most he's gonna get. Period. Because as you know, Doc Gooden had the legendary rookie's record of striking out 273 batters or 279. I can't remember the exact number. Yeah, and so Kodai Senga is like 100 away from him, so he's not going to catch him. But congrats to him. You know, he passed Seaver, Matlock, and now Kuzman, so he could have sole possession of you know, second place on the all-time Met rookie list. You know, the most home runs, I mean the most strikeouts by a rookie pitcher. So congrats to him being second all-time, only to Doc Gooden's electrifying rookie season in 84. So props to him.
Yeah, congrats.
And I don't know if you heard, Brandon Nimmo said that, you know, he doesn't care if the Mets finish in last place or second to last place. Do you know why he said
that?
Yeah.
Why did he say that?
He said that because, you know, it's all about, you know, developing the young guys, you know, so they could have a better team next year.
That's
the
dumbest statement ever.
Yeah, I was surprised when I heard he said that. That I read that he said that. I think I read it today. He said that, but he apparently said it, I think, yesterday. But yeah, that's. I guess you could get away with saying that because he's having the best year of his career. But yeah, it's not a good look for you to say you
don't
care.
That's a smart thing to say.
Yeah. He usually says the right things. Have the good. He's definitely more vocal now. You know, I think. Now he's finally getting paid, and he's producing, you know, all facets of the field. But yeah, that's not a good quote. I get what he's trying to say. You know, it's important for the development of the young guys. But yeah, you gotta care. You gotta care if you're in last place or second of last place. You gotta, you know, this year was a disappointment. No ifs, ands, or but about it. You know. But yeah, the rookies, they've been playing well. Mauricio, he finally made his debut last Friday. Got two hits in that game. The hardest hit ball of the season so far. And you know, he's been racking up hits. I think there's only been maybe one or two games where he hasn't had a hit. But yeah, he's been hitting, man, and it's kind of like what you said about Dominguez. Like, why couldn't they call this guy up earlier? You know, this guy, he's doing his thing. Brett Beatty, he looks like he got his confidence back. He's starting to hit a little bit. Jeff McNeil, he hit a home run, I think, yesterday. You know, he's starting to come back. Pete Alonso was in a huge slump, but these last couple of games he's been homering a bit. So it looks like he snapped out of his huge funk. And I've been saying this for years, you know, Pete Alonso, he's a streaky hitter, man. You know, he's either going to go on a slump where he can't hit a home run, or he's going to hit like 10 in like 7 games or so. Like, he's just, you know, I mean, a guy like that, I mean, yeah, he's streaky, but, I mean, you gotta lock him up. You gotta sign him. You gotta sign him to extension, like at least a 6-7 year extension. You know, because this guy, you know, if we could give him an extension, he'll easily go down as the greatest power hitter in Mets history. Like, Pete Alonso needs to be a forever Met. Like, we you know, the rumors of him getting traded in the trading deadline to the Brewers or the Cubs. You know, this trading deadline or getting traded in the offseason, this upcoming offseason, like, nah, it can't happen, man, because P. Alonso, man, he should be a forever Met. He should start his career with the Mets and retire with the Mets. Like,
if you guys don't bring this guy back, then you guys are something wrong with the Mets organization.
Yep. Because if we don't re-sign him, you know, he's gonna stay in New York, but he's gonna be wearing pinstripes. Because a player like that, that has Yankee written all over him. Like, Mets really, you could count on one hand the legit power hitter, like all time great Met power hitters, you know, that they have. You know, and the list is even shorter with homegrown Mets. So like he's in rarefied air with Strawberry and Piazza, you know, as legit power hitters. You know, I mean, they've had some power hitters, you know, over the years, obviously. You know, they've had Dave Kingman Delgado, you know, Beltran. You know, some guys who have the names, but they don't, you know, they haven't, lived up to their past glories, you know, generally speaking. But yeah, Mets, I mean, they cannot let this guy get away from them, slip through the fingers. They can't, They can't play Russian roulette with his contract and let him enter free agency. Because if you let him enter free agency, like you're gonna lose him. Like, don't learn from the Angels. Like, make up your mind. If you're gonna sign this guy to extension, sign him to extension or trade him. Like, you just can't let a guy like that walk away for nothing. You know what I mean? So make up your mind. But yeah, we shall see. And one last thing with the Mets, you know, the rumors are is that David Stearns might become the first ever president of baseball operations in Mets history after the season. But we don't know for sure. Some people think he might go to.
You said David Stearns?
David Stearns.
Oh, David Stearns. Okay, I thought you were talking about
The NBA. No, I think he passed away. Didn't he pass away not too long ago?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
So, yeah.
That's what I thought you were saying. I was like, David Stern.
Yeah, he was a former GM of the Brewers. The guy, he grew up a Mets fan. He was an intern in the Mets organization. I think maybe after he went to Harvard. And, you know, he left the Mets organization and made a huge name for himself with the Brewers. So hopefully the Mets can sign the guy. You know,
hopefully
make him. But we'll find out in the off season if that's what's gonna happen. Mets need to make some moves. You know, sign Yamamoto, who the Yankees are also interested in. Otani, who of course the Yankees are also interested in him. And then now a guy who the Mets and the Yankees potentially might be interested in is Urias. Jose, I think his first name is Jose, if I'm not mistaken. He got caught in a domestic violence dispute, which, I mean,
yeah, I heard
it's
about that.
Horrible in every possible way. Like, this is definitely going to affect his free agency. I mean, like, taking a chance on a guy who's, like, unstable like that, like, that's, I don't know. I mean, he's a talented guy, but I mean, that's insane, man. That's crazy what he did, man. Like,
yeah, that's messed up.
But yeah, let's shift gears. Yeah, let's talk about the wrestling right now. And the biggest news in wrestling, other than the pay-per-view offense that WWE and AEW have, is, of course, CM Punk. CM Punk getting fired by AEW. I don't know if you heard the whole story.
Yeah, give me the whole story, because I heard that, you know, there was an incident backstage he got fired for. But give me the breakdown.
So, basically, you know, last year, essentially the same pay-per-view event, All Out, He got in a fight with Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks, backstage. So he got suspended. He got suspended last year, even though he was the champion. So he finally he came back. Several months ago, I say about the summertime, maybe in June, maybe. After he had the huge suspension, he was hurt also. So basically. What you would call it? He had issues with Jack Perry because I think someone told CM Punk to talk to Jack, Jungle Boy Jack Perry, who's Luke Perry's real life son. So he basically people were afraid that he wanted to use real glass in a feud. I think it might have been with RVD or somebody else. I can't remember who it was. Because RVD recently made his debut in AEW. So basically, CM Punk advised, Jack Perry, formerly known as Jungle Boy, to not use the glass, to use a fake glass. You know, it doesn't make no point for them getting really injured, you know. So apparently they had a disagreement. So then in the pay-per-view event, the pre pay-per-view event, because it was all it was in it was in all in, because AEW had two pay-per-views back to back. They had All In in Wembley, the Wembley Stadium in London, and then last Saturday was All Out in Chicago. And mind you, I may get more into that. Remember, remember I said All Out is in Chicago. So, okay. So here's the thing. So in the All In pay-per-view event, the pregame show, Jack Perry put somebody to a table. I mean, through the glass. So then he breaks the fourth wall and stares into the camera and said, "Real glass, cry me a river." So apparently CM Punk, he was directing it towards CM Punk, looking straight into the camera and talking to the camera, when he knew CM Punk was waiting backstage, because CM Punk was going to be the first match of the pay-per-view officially, because this match that Jungle Boy was having was pre-pay-per-view. You know what I mean? It was a match before the pay-per-view, you know, like how WWE does it. You know what I mean? So as soon as he came back, CM Punk was PO'd with him, and they said some words, you know, and CM Punk put him, like, I think in a chokehold or something, like a rear naked chokehold or something like that. So he was choking him, and apparently Tony Khan, the owner, got scared and, you know, basically fired him. And Tony Khan said that he feared for his life. Yeah, he did a statement. He fired him. And then afterwards, what was it? Because this was Sunday. So last Saturday, he cuts a promo. Tony Khan explained why he fired him. And mind you, Tony Khan is explaining to the fans why he fired CM Punk in Chicago. Can you think of worse timing?
Wow, in his hometown?
Can you think of worse timing than to fire CM Punk? Like, what was it, a day before the AEW Collision, the show that they created essentially for CM Punk because he had beef with the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega? They created a show for him on Saturdays to keep the rosters away from each other. So they fire him, and I think the very next day he goes on Collision, Tony Khan, and he's trying to explain to the Chicago crowd why they fired him. And he's explaining, like, you know, he feared for, you know, he was saying a bunch of legal stuff. Like, he spoke to his discipline team, not disciplinary team. He said discipline team, which nobody knows who's on that team. Could have been even the guys who CM Punk have beef with, because they have a lot. The Young Bucks and the Kenny Omega, the Elite, they have, like, the click power back, you know, in AEW. So he cuts a promo, like, he's saying he feared for his life. And I'm like, dude, I know you've been a fan all your life, like 30-something years, and you've only been behind, say, four years behind the scenes of AEW. But stuff like this happen all the time in wrestling, especially old school wrestling. This is commonplace. Like, how are you scared? Even if you were scared for your life, why would you admit you? That makes you look a punk. Like, you're a person of authority. You're the owner of the thing. How are you gonna admit to people that you fear for your life? Like, you fear for your life. I mean, come on, man. Like,
wow.
So
I didn't know all these details.
Yeah, man, it's crazy. So then the very next day they had All Out. Because remember, 2 weeks ago they have All In. Last week, Sunday, they had All Out. And All Out is in Chicago. So the fans, as you would assume in Chicago, they're not so happy about that. You know? And, yeah, let's Yeah, I guess we'll talk about the results about the AEW All In and then All Out. So yeah, All In was in Wembley Stadium. I don't even remember if we spoke about this last week. The pay-per-view event was. I assume we might have talked about All In. Last week, All Out was after us, our show the next day. So we definitely didn't talk about All Out. I can't remember if we might have spoke about All In last week. But yeah, I guess I'll just touch the highlights. I'm not gonna go through the whole thing, since I think we covered it last week. So yeah, Jack defeated Jack Perry defeated Hook, and that's when he put him through the glass after he lost to Hook, who's Taz's son. So Taz got the FTW title back because Jack Perry was threatening to destroy the title. Adam Cole and MJF defeated Aussie Open to win the title. Another highlight was Soraya, formerly known as Paige. She won her first title in AEW, the AEW Women's Championship, defeating Hikaru Shida, Dr. Britt Baker, and Toni Storm. Her Outcast faction member. Let me see what else happened. Will Ospreay defeated Chris Jericho. And Chris Jericho, for the first time in his career, he walked into the ring singing his theme song. The Acclaim, Anthony Bowens, Max Caster, and Billy Gunn, they defeated the House of Black, which had Malakai Black, formerly known as Aleister Black, Brody King, and Buddy Matthews, who's formerly known as Buddy Murphy when he was in WWE. And then last but not least, MJF defeated Adam Cole to retain the AEW World Championship. So that was all in UK. And everything was riding high, CM Punk defeated Samoa Joe. That was, I think right before he went into the match against Samoa Joe, because apparently he was cursing out Jack Perry and even the owner, what's his name again? Tony Khan. I guess because apparently he was supposed to have a meeting with Young Bucks and Kenny Omega in Georgia maybe a few days before that, and they canceled on him last minute. So he wasn't happy about that, and apparently they didn't even give him star treatment. They didn't provide any limousines or anything like that for him to go to the where the Dynamite show was being taped for their meeting. So that could have been part of it as well. So the company was having the biggest positive publicity that they had, because they were at Wembley Stadium. They had the highest crowd that they ever had, with a big stadium, historic stadium, WWE history with the SummerSlam 92, I believe, right? With the British Bulldog and Bret Hart, main eventing that match. So, AEW, was trying to match or surpass that. And they had all the best publicity that they had ever. And then, after this, they fire CM Punk. And then afterwards, you know, now they have to hype up All In, which the pay-per-view event is in Chicago, and I mean, it's insane. Like, the timing couldn't be any worse. So last Sunday they had the All In, All Out pay-per-view in Chicago, mind you, with no CM Punk. So here's what happened. Hangman Adam Page, he won the over budget charity Battle Royale. I guess it's a cheap version of, their version of the Royal Rumble. Hikaru Shida, Willow Nightingale, and Sky Blue defeated Athena, formerly known as Ember Moon, Mercedes Martinez, and Diamante in a six-woman tag team match. The Acclaim, they came to the ring with Dennis Rodman. They defeated Jeff Jarrett, Satam Singh, and Jay Lethal in a six-man tag team match for the AEW World Trios match. So the Acclaim with Billy Gunn retained the title that they won at All In the week before that. Better Than You Baby, Adam Cole and MJF, they retained the tag team titles. Because, yeah, the Trios titles is a three-man tag team belt, and the tag team is the regular two-man one. So Adam Cole and MJF retains the title that they won a week prior to that in the All In pay-per-view event. They defeated the Dark Order, which had Alex Reynolds and John Silver. Samoa Joe defeated Shane Taylor by submission to retain the ROH World Television Championship. Luchasaurus defeated Darby Allin to retain the AEW TNT Championship. Miro defeated Powerhouse Hobbs by submission, and Lana made her debut in AEW using her real name, CJ Perry. And when Miro saw her after the match, he was saying she's not real, and he walked out on her while she was left in the middle of the ring. Chris Statlander retained the title when she defeated Ruby Soho for the AEW TBS Championship. Bryan Danielson defeated Ricky Starks by technical submission in a no disqualification strap match. Blackpool Combat Club, Claudio Castagnoli, formerly known as Cesaro, and Wheeler Yuta defeated Eddie Kingston and Katsuyori Shibata in a tag team match. Konosuke Takeshita defeated Kenny Omega via pinfall in a singles match. Bullet Club goal is Austin and Colton Gunn's, Billy Gunn's sons, Jay White and Juice Robinson, defeating FTR and the Young Bucks in an eight-man tag team match. And last but not least, Jon Moxley defeated Orange Cassidy in a singles match to become the new AEW International Champion, I should say. So that's AEW right there. And then, of course, WWE, last Saturday, they had the Payback pay-per-view event. And, yeah, basically, Becky Lynch defeated Trish Stratus by pinfall in a steel cage match. This was Trish Stratus's first steel cage match, if you could believe that. LA Knight defeated The Miz, and after the match, John Cena, the special guest referee, raised LA Knight's hand in victory, you know, as a sign of a passing of the torch. Rey Mysterio retained the United States Championship against Austin Theory. the Judgment Day defeated Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn to become the new tag team champions. So congratulations to Finn Balor and Damian Priest. Rhea Ripley retained the title against Raquel Rodriguez to retain the Women's World Championship. And Seth freaking Rollins defeated Shinsuke Nakamura to retain the World Heavyweight Championship. Yeah, this was a great match, but I felt Shinsuke Nakamura should have won that match. But WWE, man, they had to, they wanted Seth freaking Rollins to retain the title. But yeah, this should have been Shinsuke Nakamura's moment right here. This was his first time main eventing in a pay-per-view match. The Great Muda was at the event, you know, unmasked in support of Nakamura. And it looks like they're going to set a rematch for the upcoming pay-per-view event between Rollins and Nakamura.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
And, yeah, I'd say that's about it. I would say, yeah, before we, I pass it to you. Recently the guy from Smash Mouth, he passed away recently. His name was, Steve
Howell.
Howell? Let me see if I can pronounce his name.
Howell.
Repeat that again?
Steve Howell.
Howell. Okay, so I did say it right. He passed away, obviously. You know, his most famous song was All Stars. You know, I'm a Believer, you know, a cover of the Monkey song. Then the morning comes. You know, he had a lot of popular songs in the 90s. He'll definitely be missed. Rest in peace.
Yeah, rest in peace.
But is there anything else you'd like to say before we head out?
Check your local listings for my show IMAC every Saturdays at 10 p.m. And come back here, check out Sports of Religion every Saturday at 11. Only a Blog Talk Radio.
All right, you heard the man. You know, check out IMAC. You know, every Saturday's at 10, check your local listings. Check out my show, Sports Urban Legend. Every Saturday's at 11, only on Block Talk Radio. So, he's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Ramon. I'll see you guys next week. Peace. We'll be right back.